welcome to The Safe Room, a Survival Horror Game Club podcast. My name is Grace, and with me is Rose.
Hello.
And we've been stranded in the Russian countryside after various mishaps and accidents involving trains and motorbikes.
I shot a cop and then ran away.
That's right. This is actually the Breathless tie-in episode after all this time.
I wasn't going to say it, but it did remind me of Breathless.
There's some analogs, yeah.
So we're not talking about Fatal Frame 4.
No, because
It was bad. No.
No. But I sat down to play Fatal Frame like a week ago. I don't know, a little bit ago. I sat down and the Wii remote was not working. The cursor was not displaying on the screen. And I was like, what is going on? And I discovered that my rabbits had chewed through the cable that connects the Wii remote sensor to the Wii. And so my 4 hour save or whatever, I could not progress anymore through it. I ordered a new one. So we'll do Fatal Frame 4 next month, but we thought let's just do something quick so we can have an episode. And this was already a game we were planning on covering. We were already gonna do this. So it's not it's just rearranging some stuff. Yeah. And I will be more careful. This is actually the second time that my rabbits have eaten through that exact cable.
Oh no.
The first time though, it was they got behind the console. The media console or whatever, right? And this time I think it was just hanging around. They could get close enough. Because they won't leave carpeted, we have a tarp where there are litter boxes and stuff, and they have a carpeted area. Mm-hmm. And they won't leave that. Mm-hmm. They won't go exploring beyond that point. They don't like the way the hardwood floor feels on their paws or whatever. So they're just vibing. So most of the time it's just not a problem. They don't really get into weird places, but anyway. So there you go. Critter mishaps.
Yeah. Instead, we played Indica.
Yeah, which I've been really wanting to play since it came out, and because I have brain problems, have not gotten to before this point. but I don't know. What did you think? I'm kind of curious on your bead.
I thought it was neat. It didn't really move me one way or the other. It was just a nice game that was cinematic, actually cinematic in the mm-hmm. way mm-hmm. that, it had shots. It did cool things with the form. They put cameras in cool places.
Yeah.
And it was neat. And it had there was a story. There was themes. It was just a cool video game I played.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I think that is an accurate summation. I think I probably responded to this a little bit more than you just in the, by virtue of it. Yes.
I know.
Yeah, I think it's an obvious set of things. That would lead to this.
This is a Grace game.
Yeah, it is on multiple levels. But no, I agree. I think this is such a great formal experiment, and basically everything it does, I really appreciate it. I did roll my eyes a little bit once you start rolling carts around, and I was like, what is this, The Last of Us? But then it did some cool shit with that. I was like, oh damn, I didn't know your game, Indica.
Well,
you were up to more than I thought you were.
When you come out in the same year as Hellblade 2, the bar is on the floor.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you have to play a good game about a girl with a mental illness and not Hellblade.
Oh, yeah. One of the, like, I wrote a whole thing about this, but just, like, deadly dull, formally. You know? Incredibly boring. Whereas this just has, yeah, like, so many wonderful flourishes. It feels, I think, yeah, just by, in, like, this space, it's very experimental. Because it is, like, a cinematic action-adventure game, in a real sense, and just doesn't, outside of carting some stuff around, doesn't really feel like that, you know?
Yeah, there's puzzles you do, and that's kind of it. You're, like, going through, like, smaller vignettes. What happens in this game?
So you play as a nun in, like, rural Russia. Kind of like, I don't know, revolutionary era, I'd say. You know, turn of the century kind of period. And you, nobody likes you. That's basically the first thing you, everybody hates you. Yeah. For kind of, you know, undefined, like, she's sort of klutzy, and she has, like, a voice in her head that she believes is the devil, that is kind of, like, making her question, you know, why am I doing this? What does it mean to believe in God? This sort of stuff. Pointing out, you know, the kind of inherent absurdities and hypocrisies of the system she's in. She is tasked.
I also read it as, like, there's some sort of, like, mental illness happening that they don't really get into, but is, like, implicit in some of this stuff.
Well, I think it's, there's a level of, like, I mean, a lot of people who grow up religious and have OCD kind of can have things like this, right? Mm. So, you know, where it's like, your compulsions get filtered through, like, oh, I have to do this because, like, God is telling me to, like, you know, click my heel 3 times at the door or whatever, right? Like, these things become, like, wrapped up and then have, like, cosmic stakes, which then, you know, makes it harder to kind of, like, deal with sometimes. So there's just, I think there's, like, definitely, yeah, like, I think you can read it as an intersection of those things, that, like, something in her that she has difficult time expressing and that is not really expressible is, like, being filtered through this, like, lens that she has, you know? Mm-hmm.
One of the inciting incidents is a small man coming out of a priest's mouth.
Yes. Oh my God. That little sequence is so good.
Which was sick.
Yeah. Well, it's also, the soundtrack is, like,
it's so good.
I don't know quite how to describe it. It's like synthy bebop, and it's not bebop, but, like, you know, fuck. It's just, it's really good. It's very much not what you would expect something that looks like this to sound like.
We should finish the summary.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. No, you're good. You're all good. But yeah, but she, like, knocks over, like, the communion spoon or whatever. And so she gets tasked with delivering a letter. And on the way discovers a train crash of, like, a prison transport, and runs into this guy whose name I've forgotten. Whose arm is rotting on his body, from kind of, like, mistreatment in prison, who believes that he's received a vision from God.
Ilya.
Yeah. That if he goes to the Kudets, which is, like, a, like, amazing relic, you know, that you tour, that tours the country, and people will go to it and request for miracles and stuff. So Indica kind of, like, teams up with him, opens the letter, and finds out that it's just her being kicked out, like, being defrocked, right? So she's like, well, I might as well, like, help this guy get there. In the process, they outrun a gigantic dog in a snowy village, navigate a fish factory, And kind of like talk philosophy, talk about God, trying to figure things out. I have sort of a burgeoning romance between them. And then he like faints suddenly, kind of towards the end of the thing, and she amputates his arm using a thing in the fish factory. And he is like bitter and resentful to her for doing that. They go to the Kutiets to try and like repair his arm, because she's like, it'll still work, you know, God is powerful enough that he can fix your arm even if it's not attached to you, right? But in the process of trying to get in, because like it's the thing has already been closed, or like the priest is like tidying up after the day is over, basically. And they try and... Oh, she tells him that he's a convict, that he's escaped prison. And she's like, oh, he won't do anything because, you know, it's under the Sea of Confession. He, like, immediately goes to get, like, a soldier.
It takes 5 seconds.
Yes. And then in the kind of struggle to get to the Kudiets, the gun goes off and... the priest is killed. As you might predict, the Kudiets does not help him repair his arm. And she gets arrested. I think he does escape because he like pushes her into them, right? Into the soldier. Yeah.
He's also like in the last sequence.
Yes. Yeah. She is then... she goes into the jail. Perhaps best to... Well, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this exactly. She's sexually assaulted by the guard, prison guard. And in that sequence kind of has like... actually directly addresses the sort of devil voice in her head, right? Mm-hmm. And then knocks over like a giant wardrobe that's in the prison room. And escapes, like, hits the guy that assaulted her, gets out of the room and goes to, like, the pawn shop locally in town that was there. And where Ilya has traded the Kudiets for a trumpet. She goes in to try and get the Kudiets. Ilya comes in angry about the trumpet. And the pawn shop guy leaves. You're left alone with the Kudiets. You look in the mirror and you see a devil person. And that's the end of the game, basically. You sort of, you know, it's all... Oh, go ahead,
you please. You pray on the Kudiets. And nothing happens to the devil that's in the mirror. And then you can mm-hmm. shake it a bunch. And then she opens it. There's nothing inside of it.
Right. Yeah.
And then when she looks back up, the devil is gone.
Yeah.
There are also flashback sequences that are pixel 2D, like pixel art style, that show various vignettes of Indica growing up and developing a relationship with this guy who is stealing stuff from her dad's shop. And they're all like different genres. If you played What Remains of Edith Finch, it's very that much that vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the end of that arc is that her father completely annihilates this guy with a shotgun in front of her.
Her lover, after he
steals from the shop. Yeah.
Yeah. God. And that was what got her sent to the, I think she was either it's like, oh, I get married to this other person that my dad's trying to get me to marry, or I like go be a nun. Those are my like choices.
Yeah.
And I think there is some sense also of just like guilt around how that happened. Everything went down, you know,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to try and like make right by that. So, yeah. The pixel art is also gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a couple tacks to go at this with. We've already talked about some of the formal stuff. I was just really taken with the way this game looks and, like, the surrealities of it. There's a couple really striking sequences where the devil voice just starts going off and the landscape like splits in two.
It's so cool.
It's really, and it's like red and stuff. And then you like hit a button to pray. And so the voice changes to like her saying prayer and the landscape like closes back together and you use it to like navigate switching between the two different modes. Right. That's so, cause it's obviously there's like a puzzle function, but there is also this simultaneous like thing of like, in order for her to keep the voice out, she has to like drone you have to like concentrate, right? Like as soon as you slip and you start doing something else, like it comes back. Right. And it's just like part of the landscape of your mind. Right. And like that just so fully captures things that I have felt and experienced in my life. Right. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So effective, so evocative, and it has this leanness to it. It's just, I think that like, and the game is kind of full with a lot of these little formal touches that just do a lot of work. I love the big fish in the factory, the like whale sized catfish. They're awesome.
I saw the big fish and was like, all right, guys, come on.
Why don't you cool it? Yeah, no, I love the big fish.
I like that the voice in her head is like evil Stephen Fry, basically.
Yeah, well, it's also it's the voice actor, I'm forgetting his name, but he plays Keira Mundi, the like tall-headed Star Wars guy in Star Wars. Right. And like voice acts him and everything. That's like so in Clone funny. Wars and Lego Star Wars and stuff. Yeah, so anyway, fun fact. I was like, I really recognize this voice, and I don't know what
I
from
did
I
not
thought,
recognize that voice at all.
Yeah. That's well, I so thought funny. He sounded kind of like the little devil butler in Baldur's Gate 3 to me, and I thought that was it, but no. But he's like been he's you know, he's like pretty prolific. Like television and voice work guy. So you've probably heard his voice somewhere, even if Star Wars is the only occasion. Yeah, evil Stephen Fry is a funny way of describing it, though. Well, it is kind of like, it's like the Reddit atheist running commentary where she'll say something like faithful and then it'd be like, well, that's interesting. Like, have you thought through all the consequences of what like believing this would mean or whatever? But I think the thing is that it is a little bit caustic, and it is like Indica is like a sympathetic character. Largely, but she is also kind of like, I mean, it's not really her fault, but she is kind of a fool, you know? But I think it works really well for me because all the stuff just feels felt, and a lot of the emotions that it pulls on like feel very real to me. And partially it's just that comes from my like lived experience, I guess. But like, I just think that it centers Indica and like the turmoil that this causes for her being caught between all these different things and having to balance all this stuff in her own mind at all times, really well, and renders that very sympathetically, I think. But yeah, and it's also, you know, Ilya, I mean, they're all awful. All the men are terrible. They're all like horrible people.
If I had one complaint about this game, is that it's so straight.
Yes, it kind of is. Yeah, that's true.
He's also New Gunray.
Oh, like, yes, I did know that.
Looking at
the voice actor. Yeah, that's I forgot that he's also Newt Gunray.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I feel like I was gonna, because I think that's also the function. Did you notice there's this puzzle towards the end of the game where you have to like go out a particular door in a room, and if you go out any other door, then you come in to the room at a like different angle, so like above, like on the ceiling or at one of the windows or whatever, right? And so
are you gonna talk about how the devil shows up in your reflection if you catch it?
Yes, if you like the portal reflection. Yeah, it's so cool. Oh fuck!
I was reading a guide for that part, and I was like, okay, that's, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I saw like a half a second glimpse as I was like going through one room to another.
Like it's such a, because it's not. Like when I say devil, you might imagine like a certain kind of guy, but it's like this long, like gangly. It's almost like the like farting aliens from Doctor Who. If people know what I'm talking about. Like it's sort of hunched over and it has all these arms and like the, I forget what the bone in your like forearm is called, but it's like split, right? And it has like skin grown around like both sides. It's just like very weird looking.
It's a creature. What the Lord of the Rings mocap guy would look like.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It has sort of, it's just sort of like it, it's obvious what it is, that it's like a devil, but it like doesn't quite match like the thing you see in your head when you think that, right? So like that first seeing it out of the corner of your eye and you're like, what is that? Right.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? You know?
That's cool.
And then, yeah, when she's being assaulted, it, you know, it has this conversation with the devil voice in her head, and it's like this big red light and she's falling through, and then like does this dance with the devil figure. And it's like just, you know, bodies and form and light, but can build a lot of weird images out of that because it's just these figures that are so like strange, look so odd together. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's just, I think part of it is that it is such a, you know, it's like 3-4 hours, right? It's really not very long. And so it really can concentrate narrowly on some of these like formal decisions.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's just like very tight, like very short levels. Doesn't really overstate its welcome, but also like very intentional with its plotting. The opening of this game is like you carrying water from a well to a barrel that's like 5 feet away for like 10 minutes. And then the like the button on that scene is like the lady comes out and just dumps the barrel on the ground, and then, you know, and then they move on. It's really good way to set the tone of this game.
Yeah, no, it's so, I love that sequence of like, because there is this thing, you know, and I'm sure it's like very prevalent, like when you're clergy in the sense, or you're, you know, like sworn away, you're like in a nunnery somewhere in the middle of nowhere, you know, and like you just do the most meaningless shit and there's someone telling you and a voice in your head that's being like, no, this is really important. Like, this is God's work. This is like what you have to do, you know? It's just so wild.
I really did enjoy the devil voice in this game.
Yeah.
It's like humor is difficult. And it could go so wrong having this like snarky voice. But I didn't find it obnoxious, which is good. It very much just like flatly like pointing out the absurdity of a situation. But not in like a heavy-handed way, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think there's an earnestness to it that really makes it, it's not arch, you know? And I think that does make it, like, it's bitter, right? but it's not exactly funny, you know? I mean, it is funny, but like it's, there's sort of a, it just is sincere, I think. I really liked that sequence where you've like, you're in the, what is it? The paint factory. And the dog is chasing after you and you get away from the dog and it like gets crushed between a couple of the moving parts.
It's so good.
And you just get this shot from like below of the dog's head, like lolling as the wheels of the mill like turn around it and stuff and like knock its head.
The camera just like focuses on the dog's head.
Yeah.
As Ilya and Indica are like having a conversation about, am I remember that correctly? They're like talking about like souls and like.
Well, there's a thing where like Indica's, cause like, you know, like he is like good riddance. Like that dog was bad. It was trying to hurt us, you know? And Indica's like, well, dogs don't sin. You know, it was just hungry and tired. And then the devil voice is like, that's interesting. People can get hungry and tired too. Have you ever thought about that, Indica? Like, what is it so different, you know, what a person would do in this situation, right? But I think it's like, it just had, that image has like so much of the game in it. It's absurd, it's comic, but also dark, right? And like, it's just very
And it's
cool.
also just like, we're just going to stare at this dog ragdolling for like a minute. And it's like the bar is on the floor in terms of cinematography and video games, but it's cool. It's classic. When a camera just focuses on an object that's meant to evoke something to the player.
Yes, totally.
It's fucking it's also easy.
It's so true. What was the thing I was going to say about... I think that's also one of the things is that there is this... It kind of leads into some of the video game absurdity. Like, that, so many of these landscapes are just totally impossible or impractical on their face, you know? There is, like, no attempt to sort of mask the absurdity of, like, wheeling your little cart around, you know? That stuff is really nice, I think.
Did you get that achievement for, like, smashing the piano around that room?
Yes, I did!
Because, like, that puzzle confused me because I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah,
and,
same.
Like, what you're doing is, like, moving the safe around to influence where the piano's going so you can eventually exit the room from... You're on this top level and you're trying to influence the bottom level, but I didn't know that. So I just kept moving the safe around and getting mad that I couldn't like go anywhere. And then I go back downstairs and I see the piano that I had already gotten an achievement for smashing around. And I was like, oh, I have to get on top of the piano.
Yes. Yeah.
It was very funny.
Well, I like that so many of the achievements are like fail 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Fail 10 times or whatever. Like, there's that mini game where you like jump on the giant frogs. And it's like a bet with your boyfriend that, like, oh, if I don't get in the water, like, you'll give the bike back. But if I fall in the water, then you'll kiss me or whatever. Right. And so then if you fall in 10 times, like, the achievement pops and it's like desire for a kiss, you know, which is like cute. I like that it is like encouraging you to fail in a little way and that adds like a nice little bit of texture to it. Right. Also the other thing the mechanical thing that we haven't talked about is that you do get like, God points, light side points for like lighting candles next to same thing or like picking up books or things like that. And it just doesn't, Matt, like it doesn't do anything. Like you get little rewards for picking up the points, but it's just like, oh, like next time you get points, you'll get more points, you know, things like that. And then you lose all of them. And then at the end, when you like shake the kudiets, you can just like shake it for as long as you want and get as many points as you want.
Yeah.
I
can buff up my grief score.
Yes. Yeah. Which it is like, it is kind of, but I think there is stuff where it is like, Now being like someone who's, I guess, deconstructed or whatever, it's like there's so many things I have knowledge of that like have no use in the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, little quote site or whatever, right? That like had use and had function and like had this sort of, but only internal to the system that I was in. And now that I'm like mostly out of that, it is like, oh, this doesn't have a lot of relation to like the rest of my life. And that can be like a very weird thing. Right. And I think, I mean, I do think like the game doesn't really address like what purpose religion like can serve in people's lives and what it can do and like why people participate in these things, you know? But I don't know that it necessarily has to do that, right? Like this is such, these are such huge and complex things. Like I think it's cool for something to just be like a little bit angry and sad and mad about it. Mm-hmm. And for that to be the primary expression that it works through this stuff with, you know?
We mentioned the music earlier. I just want to shout out the music properly because I really like the main like theme. Like the theme for Indica as a character is like this. It's like the Jurassic Park meme, the recorder thing, but not quite.
Yeah.
But it is like this dissonant like flute theme that's like really cool. And evocative. I really like it.
Yeah. Well, it's so like drum heavy too. Like when the little guy pops out of the, I think it is actually the nun. It's like the sister who's standing next to the priest. I think I could be wrong about that. But like pops out of her mouth, like this jungle beat hits, you know, and it's, like that is so funny. It accentuates this thing. In such a cool way. I'm just really, literally everything about this game formula I was just so into, you know, was so like tickled by.
I like the scene with the you come across the guy who's dying and the other guy is just like playing a song for him. It wasn't really like clear what was happening at first when they cut to it, and then they like do a wide shot and the guy is just like fully impaled on the spike as somebody's just like playing this acoustic song.
Yeah, like throwing up blood and stuff. And then...
I like the sniper guy who can't aim.
Yeah, so true. The little soldier boy. It's just like, well, because you like surprise him coming around a corner and he like shoots, but just totally whiffs.
He's like 2 feet away.
Yeah.
And then we get that long scene of Ilya like escaping on the chariot. And like, the sniper guy like is just like playing the worst game of chicken with this guy. absurd stuff that you just don't see in games. Games don't do
no,
this.
No. Yeah. No, I just thought like I liked the. Because it is kind of like an accumulation of like little set pieces and stuff, right? But yeah, I do think it is largely... I do think the ending is like a little bit... I don't know. Maybe it's just that it is sort of like at the end it's you. Like you, there's nobody... Like that's sort of the thing, right? She looks at herself in the mirror. It's her. The only person she can hold herself accountable to is herself, right? And like that's the concluding realization. And there's just sort of like a... But it does feel a little bit like, yeah, it's just sort of empty. And that's kind of the point, I suppose. But I could have stood for more. I could have gotten more. I wouldn't mind if there was more.
I thought it was fine in the way, like, mm-hmm. I liked how understated it was.
Yeah.
That it was just like, you're just like coming to terms with the fact that, you know, this thing you believe in was a lie, and like I like that you can read it as either, you know, the Kvyat worked and the devil is gone, or that she just realizes it's all a lie and then that's what makes the devil disappear.
Well, because that is also the thing the devil says at the end of like that sequence is like, once you stop trying to get rid of me is when I'll be, when I'll go away.
Right.
You know? Which is like true. I mean, I think about this kind of in relationship to like, I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff like in Christianity that's sort of like this, that it's like, once the pleasure of your flesh starts becoming a problem, then it like stops becoming a problem. You know what I mean? And I, maybe that could be applied to all kinds of horrible things people can do, but like, just that it's like, once you stop thinking that like porn addiction is a thing that you can experience, then it's like, then you can just be a human being about it and be normal, you know? Like I think there's like a level of like the obsession and the guilt like comes out of just existing in the system. And then once you sort of break out of it, it becomes easier to see like how hollow that was, you know? And I think that's the thing, is it, I like, despite I think it being so comic, like I don't think it ever really talks down to Indica in that process, you know. The devil is talking to her as a peer and everyone else talks down to her. Yeah,
I was gonna say something and I forgot what it was.
Oh, I'm sorry. I kept yapping, couldn't stop yapping.
No, you're fine. I do like that. I like how clearly not a dog that monster was.
I know.
They just call it a dog anyway. It's like a fucking Souls enemy.
Yeah, it's like straight out of Bloodborne. Like, you know, gigantic wolf man kind of creature. I was gonna say, oh, I liked the sequence where there's all the gigantic cans of fish, like the big ass cans.
Oh yeah,
it's just silly. All these little silly things, I dug. Or like there's the puzzle where you pick up like the bridge.
Yeah.
And then like everyone's yelling at you.
Yeah.
For like picking up a bridge with a giant crane.
Yeah.
That's like really funny.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the like, there's like a slow like distortion of reality that's occurring in the game that you can't really quite put your finger on until like you're literally lifting a bridge with a crane.
Yes, yeah. When like all the scaffolding just like explodes off of the side of it.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the kind of like quiet, lovely realization that this game has, is that like, oh, you can make like the silliest video game shit like totally sing if you just like give, if you lean into that just a little bit and give it some tension and surreality, like it just, it just has a bite that like no puzzle in like The Last of Us or like A Plague's Tale could ever manage, you know. Despite like operating in very much the same way. Another little touch I liked was the like benches you can sit on and then you can like click through different views of the environment.
Oh, I just remembered what I was going to say.
Yes, awesome. Go for it.
I appreciate that this game does jump cuts when it's made in Unreal, because Unreal can't really handle jump cuts, but I always appreciate when a game is like, who fucking cares? You're going to see texture pop in, but it's, we are doing jump cuts in this video game.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, it's just so it's so unconcerned with, like, immersion. Like, you know? Like, it doesn't care about that as, like, an aesthetic value. Like, fuck off. Very refreshing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, but those bench scenes are fucking so cool. Love to have framed shots in a video game.
Yeah, and like a fisheye lens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I mean, I know this is like the drum we keep banging on. Because, I mean, I just think this is the thing, is that like Indica is a video game in a in like a deep way. And like, obviously you could adapt it to another medium, but like it would lose something in the, like you couldn't have this, these sequences with like the devil voice and praying and stuff in like the way that works. And I don't, this isn't me being like, oh, video games are so special, but I just mean like, it's formally different. It leans into like, it's not it's unashamed of being a video game. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then also it's like, if you pay attention, if you learn and draw from other mediums in like a deep and not superficial way, you can get so much out of it, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause this also has like all the icon art and the sort of like architecture, like orthodox architecture stuff, and like kind of turn of the century factory, like decaying, like industrialism is really gorgeous, you know? Yeah. And like, it just, it has a holistic sense of like being in conversation with like a lot of different kinds of things. And, you know, it pays major dividends for that, like, as a video game. Like, it's not trying to be anything else, but it has this very, like, it's just nice. I don't know. It's not that hard. You really play something like this, and you're just like, man, this isn't even tough. People could just do this if they want it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I just like that. I like the 2D vignettes, and I like that it almost always ties into what's going to happen in the story, like the,
yeah,
like the one where you're like racing your dad, like riding the bike, and then the next scene is like a chase sequence with Ilya. Mm-hmm. Is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a lot of like cool small things that I really enjoyed. I like, yeah, that there's a, you press L2 to pray. And it's, they don't really like make a joke out of it. It's just a thing you can, yeah, do. Like, you use it in those puzzle sequences, to like manipulate the environment. But then outside of that, she just prays. There's just,
yeah, you could just like, praying. Yeah. Well, it's also like, you know, Ilya could say something weird, and then you could just do the sign of the cross in response, right? Like, it's a little bit of expression, yeah, you know, really lovely touch. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and just like little like visual flourishes. There's a scene, I'm just like scrolling through a Let's Play right now. There's a scene,
yeah,
with Indica and Ilya in like an abandoned building, and like the other room is like completely dark, and there's like a wide shot of her staring into the darkness as,
oh,
she's like,
yeah,
hyper focusing on it. It's like so cool.
Oh, yeah, no, I also love that sequence where like the nun is like leading her through the different parts of the convent, and like the door is opening, and then the light shines on the wall, and it's like the credits, right? And you just, yeah, like walk through, like that stuff is, and it's like different doors keep opening in like different parts of the frame, you know? Like it just, I think that this is also, this game does not use ray tracing, right? Like, this has got to be just, like, straight up, we're not simulating the lighting, you know?
I'm not sure. This game does have some performance issues on console, which is, like, fine. Mm-hmm. I don't really care, but...
Right.
I don't know. I could go either way. I couldn't... You'll be shocked to know I don't really notice when something is ray traced or not.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just mean that there is a very deliberate like use of lighting. Right.
Yeah. For sure.
You know. And to me it would seem that like, oh, they're like lighting it. But I guess you could still do deliberate stuff with
there's like a bunch of like, there's like a bunch of natural lighting in the game too, mm-hmm, that could occur, not be. I really don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In terms of like technical issues, I don't know if this happened for you, but like the like voice acting was very blown out. notice that?
I don't think I did as such.
Okay. I don't know if it was like an audio thing on my end, but like, especially Ilya, whenever he would talk, his voice was just like completely blown out.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I did have trouble like hearing him sometimes. You also, I assume you played this game in English, because I think you can like select the Russian.
Yeah, I played it. I played the dub, yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah, that's what I did too, but I didn't like experiment with I also be curious if this carries, because like the subtitles were a little bit inconsistent and some of them were wrong.
Right.
And also like when she's praying, it doesn't subtitle that and a couple things like that. So I don't know.
Yeah. That is true.
But yeah, I'm trying to think, I mean, if there's any like remaining thoughts I have. I'm just looking at like the Steam screenshots and it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Like it really just has such a nice, like kind of austere look to it. And the sort of like warmth, like in heat of the lighting, that it's all like firelight and stuff, gives it this really nice quality. It's just, yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah. I just really appreciated, it's very good at like just setting a scene, like that last scene in the church where like, you know, they go in and she like immediately rats on him.
Yeah.
And just immediately he gets a soldier in there. And the way that escalates is so funny, because just a guard comes in and then just shoots the church guy for no reason.
Yeah.
And then these two other guys come in because the church guy's dead. And then Ilya's trying to put his fucking arm together.
Yeah, and then she like holds it to the stump. That like that image of her just like holding his arm as he's like kissing the Kudets and like trying to like pray is so just like heartbreaking to me. I guess I will say, did you see the like end credits thing? Like post credits scene, I guess.
I don't know if I did.
Okay, so there's like a thing for the audience. There's a thing early in the game where Ilya talks about like playing the guitar. And you know, now his like arm is rotting and stuff, so we can't do it anymore, but he's like, oh no, it was really good, and like they like I played at the bar across the street from the pawn shop, you know, and like they gave me a standing ovation. And then at the end credits you can like play through that sequence and he's like playing the guitar horribly and gets kicked out of the bar.
That's so good. That's awesome. Holy shit.
But it's also like pixelated, like the, you know, Indica flashbacks are, right?
Oh, that's so cool. Man, fucking games, man.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
It's so true. And it is nice. I know that sometimes, I feel like me in particular, sometimes I'm like, man, the days of the PlayStation 2, we didn't know how good we had it. You know? Fuck. Right? And that's, I stand by that to some degree, but like Indica could not have come out in 2002, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to feast now on the finer things in video gaming. So yeah, no, I really dug this and I'm glad we took like the time to get around to it. Although I guess it's not really a horror game.
But it does like, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. It felt right. Like we watched The Devils.
Yes. I was going to say this is like a great like double feature with The Devils.
Like the hypocrisy of the church is like often a theme that runs through horror, and it just felt like of a piece of things that we would cover anyway. So
yeah, totally.
Didn't really care either way. One last thing I wanted to touch was, mm-hmm. What did you think of the Ilya relationship? We didn't really talk about it much.
Oh, yeah. I think it's kind of bad. Yeah. I think the interesting thing in that is just that she has not been around. Like, there, it is very heterosexual, right? Yeah. Like, she hasn't been around men. And so part of it is it's just like this man who's like relying on her, trying to, you know, giving her time and attention, and she's like transfixed by that, right? Mm-hmm. And then sort of once like she does something he doesn't like, even though it's to like save his life, right? He can't deal with that and the relationship deteriorates, right? And so I think there is like a thing there of just like encountering, there is sort of a miniature arc that's similar to the arc of like her relationship with the church, is like he is this person that she idealizes eventually and then like completely fails that idealization, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what rendered, I like some of the beats, like I like that scene where they're both getting undressed in the factory and just like things feeling sort of like tense but not being able to express that, although the part where the devil is like, oh, he's such a handsome lad or whatever, I was like, no, he's not, like his arm is rotting off of his body, like what do you mean, like I know that I'm a lesbian but like I don't think
I you know? I for me I read that as like, because like Ilya could be just any dude, yeah, and he just looks like a guy, and so like,
right,
because of this like repression, it's like any fucking guy that I'm gonna spend time with, I'm going to have these thoughts kind of thing.
Yes, I think that's probably right. Yeah, for sure.
But it is also cringe.
Yeah.
That I'm supposed to care about this fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think
the game, I guess the game does know that he's stupid as hell, because I guess this stupid post-credit scene.
Yes. Well, and also he like pisses his pants, you know, like he's talking to you with the Trump and he's like drunk or just like delirious. Because I mean, he has been through a lot. In fairness, the man has been through a lot the last 3 days, you know. He just is sort of pathetic by the end of everything, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, but I think it does, like, Indica feels fleshed out and he does feel a little pat to me.
I did
which is,
like
know, not the
part,
worst thing in the world.
I did like the part where, like, he asked her if she's from his hometown and she's like, dude, you have a child's brain. What are you saying?
Like, yeah.
I'm not from your hometown, dude.
That's true. Oh my God. Funny. Yeah, it is funny. I mean, that was also like, I just also like the thing, the way the game utilizes conversation generally of like doing the like walk and talk stuff. I think all that really works well in this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was just impressed with the, like, utilization of that. And the feeling that it gave some of the stuff in the game where you're just, like, moving from place to place, like, texture and weight, you know? Whereas, I don't know, whenever I play, like, a fucking Rockstar game and you get, like, a mission that's just walk and talk, I'm always like, this is such a drag.
Well, it helps that you can sprint.
Yes,
and the
that's
game
true.
Doesn't force you to do the walk, except for like the intro where you can't run.
Right, you're carrying the water, you know.
Yeah.
But it does. God, it's so sad too. When she's like trying to small talk with the other nuns, and they're just like, "Fuck off." Like I love the sort of lack of clarity that like everyone just hates her, and it's like for just no reason. Like she's nice, you know.
Yeah.
But everyone just can't stand her.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I love so much that, that like you don't get to read the letter that she opens, but you get the monologue of her like internal devil just like ranting about how much bullshit it is. It's such a good moment.
Yeah. Well, because it is like the way that it just represents this like lack of control that she has over her life, that she's like tasked with doing something, you know, and it's actually just like getting her out of. So like no one has to actually talk to her about what happened, you yeah. know, and then nobody has to like deal with her as a human being who can be like hurt and compromised. Right. In all these ways, like no one wants to like take responsibility for that. And I think that is like a note that's nice and like interesting about the relationship between her and Ilya is that like she takes responsibility for him, right? In a way that like he wouldn't for her and does it for her ultimately, right? But like she is willing to like stick up for this person and like try to help them even when it's like threatening or inconvenient to her, right? Mm-hmm. You know. It's and it's just sad that like no, you know, there's all these Christians and nobody can fucking do anything, you know. Yeah,
I was also confused. This is a criticism that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I was so confused by the mechanism of how she cut the arm off because it's like on, it's like on like a treadmill thing.
Yeah,
but like, but she does like. I don't. How did she like? Because she doesn't like time it or anything, and then his body is completely still. Like she doesn't move the body at all. So like, how there was no.
How does it time out? Right? Yeah.
How did you do that? That doesn't matter. Is just kind of funny.
Yeah. No, I got you. Yeah, I like her kissing him as the blade falls down, though. It's good.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, and then I forgot the thing where he, like, carries the hand in his bag, and then it's, like, moving. As, yeah. like, in the... That's... Oh, so creepy. When, yeah, he, like, throws it at them, right? When he's trying to escape. Man.
Yeah, and he's such a fucking loser. Like, he can't even, like, be mad at her for an extended amount of time, because like what the fuck else is he gonna do?
Yeah.
This like quiet pathetic resignation that he's just like, yeah, she cut off my arm and I'm fucking mad at her, but you know.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Good game. I didn't think we'd have this much to say about it, but yeah. I am liking it more the more we talk about it. So
no, me too. And I already liked it quite a bit, but I just I just really liked it. I think it's 11-bit Studios. No, that's the publisher. The developer's Odd Meter. And I'm just interested in whatever they're up to next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They apparently had to move out of Russia for this game to happen to exist.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it. That's all I got to say about this game.
No, it was good. I'm really
It was nominated for Games for Impact.
That's so fucking funny. Holy shit. Are you, that's real? You're not just bullshitting me right now? That's for real?
Do you think I'm kidding? Do you think I'm joking? Here's the link for Games for Impact.
Okay, all right,
Hellblade 2, Indica, Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Closer the Distance, Winner is Neva.
That's so fucking funny. Also, like, okay, yeah, it's does Indica have a pro-social meeting or message? I don't know. Everyone's kind of an asshole to her. Is that pro-social? Like, I don't understand.
If I were to be charitable, it's the, you know, the whole, like, church bad.
Right, I guess? Oh, that's so fucking funny.
What message does Hellblade 2 have?
Hellblade 2 is about being nice to yourself and other people and recognizing your own potential for evil. and rejecting it.
And they needed $10 million to tell that story?
I don't know. Well, you know, I'll say this about Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 is it does look expensive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a fucking tech demo.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
I'm not saying anything new or unpopular. Maybe I am. I don't know. I feel like people who even liked Hellblade 1 didn't like Hellblade 2.
It's got less going on in a certain sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it still has that vibe very much of like being trying to do something that's like, we're considering what it's like to live with this mental illness, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's so funny they got nominated for Games for Impact. I don't know. Did they buy themselves? I hope they bought themselves like a bottle of champagne or something for that one. I don't know. It is a little bit like, I don't know. If they had a like equivalent award at the Oscars, like the devil is being nominated for that. Or like Alucarda or whatever. Like a pro-social message. That's so fucking funny. Oh my god. All right. So I think that's it. We didn't get any questions this month, I don't think.
We did not.
So we'll do Fatal Frame 4 next month.
Yep.
And we both started it, so hopefully we'll get that. Once my package arrives.
I've started and finished it.
Oh, damn. Okay.
It has the most disrespectful clear screen of all time.
Damn. I haven't seen it.
It's not spoiling anything. Hold on.
Okay. All right. All right.
I posted it on Blue Sky. Let me pull it up. It is it is ridiculous.
I don't think I'm.
Blue Sky is being really slow. One second.
Oh wait, I am logged in.
It was a few weeks ago at this point.
Okay.
There it is. I found it. It's so disrespectful of my time, my patience, everything. There it is.
Okay. Congratulations. Wow. I mean, I'm probably, because I don't think I'm going to get 23 of those dolls. That's for damn sure.
Oh, God. This is a conversation for next time.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, let's do plugs.
Plugs. Do you want to say anything here about Lynch, since we're on like the main feed?
I don't fucking know. I mean, we're gonna talk about it for the Mulholland Drive episode, yeah. Obviously.
We'll talk about it more in the Patreon, but like obviously a huge bummer. And like as a podcast that covers Japanese horror games, David Lynch is just like in just everything. Like I talk in our previous Patreon about like the Red Room and like that whole sequence at the end of that show. And like that just created like a language for like game designers. For decades of just like, here's a space and like you interact with something and then something happens in the non-including space and it is cool. And that's all like fucking, that's all fucking David Lynch shit. And yeah, it's like, it is like impossible to measure just how much impact like his whole thing has on stuff that we cover.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just wanted to mention that. It's wild to think about.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's also just like, I don't know. I mean, I was also just thinking about, we talked a little bit about this as well on the Devils episode, but just that like our friendship, like, and the reason this is show is somewhat driven by like our mutual admiration for like Twin Peaks in particular and Lynch generally. And like, it does just feel like, I don't know what this would look like if that wasn't like a background in both of our, you know, hearts and minds, right, going forward, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that that, like, I just think that that's one of the things, like, I obviously, like, I consume is a fucking horrible thing. I watch a lot of movies. I read books. I play video games. Like, I am a media person in a real way. And it's like takes up so much of my life, but there's also like not that many things that I can like point to and be like, this has really changed the way I think about the world or the way that like I relate to other people. And like Twin Peaks is one of them in like a really, and also it's just changed like my own work, like my own, the horror writing and things that I have done, which like people can't really read, hopefully someday, but like, it's just all in the background for me. And I think that like, it's just also in the background of the show in like a huge way. And I think that that's like, the thing is it feels so personal. Like it doesn't, you know, it feels like a very personal connection, like to his work. And I think that's like, I mean, I talked about this on Blue Sky and I may have talked about this in the Doubles episode, but like the way Twin Peaks like gave me a language to like think through Mormon stuff in a really direct way. And I, you know, I think it came along at like the right point in my life for me to like do that. And it's opened me up to like other stuff that has also done that, right, for me. So I just, it feels like major, you know. And yeah, I wish he had gotten to make another movie, you know. It's like,
yeah, I'm going to talk about that a little bit on our Patreon, which if you don't know, we're covering Mulholland Drive on our Patreon pod. If you go to patreon.com/thesaferoom, $1 will give you access to all of our shows, including Mulholland Drive episode, which is probably up by the time you hear this. So yeah,
there you go. Yeah, we'll end. You can, are we ready to Patreon plug? Spookygame.club is where all our links are. You can also join our Discord that way. And you know, if you want us to answer your question next episode, you can email us at questions@spookygame.club. Yeah, I don't know. I'm on Blue Sky at gracemachine.bluesky.social. And I have a website called Tear, the Imaginary Engine Review, at tear-review.com. You can read things about weirdo games. And I'm actually really, we did an issue, I think I plugged this last time, but I'm plugging it again. We did an issue on Hesai Pistol Show, which I think is really good, and also just like, if you haven't played that game, you should. It's really cool. You can search it on Itch and find it. And also just like, I think our issue does a lot of like context building and like gives you like some tools to like think through what that game is doing with. And so like, I think it would be a really rewarding thing to do them both together. I'm very proud of that. But yeah, I think that's all I got to plug at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm on Blue Sky at Bluest Rose, and that's kind of it.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. We'll catch you. We'll take pictures of you with our spirit cameras, and we'll put them in our little book.
I'm going to use the big flashlight to take a picture of you.
Damn. Okay.